What do you say, everybody? With Tony Tsoukalos, I'm Mick Gillespie. Welcome to BamaInsider.com. No game this week, so no tailgate show this week. But with everything going on, we decided to jump on here and kind of update you guys on Trey Sanders, what's going on in his situation. Tony's been following that all day. And then we're going to look around college football. You know, how does what's happening tonight, what's going on tomorrow, and there is a game tonight, right, affect Alabama and the college football playoff. But great to have all you guys here with us tonight. And Tony, give us an update. Good to see you, my friend. And tell us about Trey Sanders. What's the latest?
Oh, back again with you after the first Trey Sanders report. But we've gotten new information on Trey Sanders. A lot of the things we had been hearing before were kind of confirmed. He was in the car with his brother. He was actually airlifted to a medical facility and was able to be taken care of. He's still in stable condition. We did find out that, you know, it was serious enough that they had to airlift him to a hospital. And he was in an accident with his brother in the car. We don't know anything about his brother, but the incident too, it occurred about an hour away from his home in Port St. Joe. It happened in Clarksville, Florida. So it's like roughly 50 minutes north. But that's what we know right now. Once again, Sanders is in stable condition. So that's kind of the update as we have it.
Yeah. Well, the good news is he's okay, right? The bad news is that whatever happened to him, it was serious enough for him to be airlifted to the hospital. Do we know what the injury was? Was it a concussion? Was it something with his legs, his arms? I mean, do we know anything specific other than he was just airlifted?
We don't. Other than the fact that the injuries are, you know, non-life threatening, we don't know what they are: arm, leg, abdominal, and it could be anything. We really don't know. We just know that he was in the car. I had heard that he was in the passenger seat. That part hasn't been confirmed, but he was in the car with his brother. His brother actually plays for Jacksonville State. So, you know, I don't know the status of him either, but it seems like Trey's in at least decent shape, because the reports we're getting all say that he's in stable condition. So I don't know what it has to do with this season or if it's going to affect that. But as far as his safety, he's in okay shape.
Well, you know, let's pray for him and hope that whatever the situation is, that he improves quickly. And, you know, and just thank goodness that he and his brother are going to survive this, because, you know, a lot of people die in car accidents every single day. You know, I've been in a few myself. And they're never fun, and they're always potentially dangerous. And Trey Sanders, just talk about Trey from a football aspect, because I feel like this is really terrible timing. He's kind of come into his own over the last couple of games. Like, he's starting to run like the guy that Alabama thought they were getting as a five-star that came to Tuscaloosa a couple of years ago. We didn't see him last year because of the injury. And then this year, you know, it's been Najee Harris, obviously. Brian Robinson's kind of been the second guy. But the future has been Trey Sanders, and he's ran like it's going to be his team in the future.
Yeah, and he's really, like we said before, he's really that change of pace guy. I think he's a guy that can break some of these big runs. I think in the last two weeks, he's had three runs of 20 or more yards, and he's that kind of guy that can kind of, you know, make that cut, bounce to the outside, and really get some big yardage. I think he's another weapon that defenses were having to pay attention to with Alabama, which I think was a big deal, especially with the loss of Jalen Waddle. Adding Trey Sanders to that mix gave defenses another dimension that they had to guard against, where, you know, maybe one was taken away with Jalen Waddle's injury. Like I said, we don't know the severity of this injury, and you know, who knows? I mean, Trey Sanders could be back next week. We don't know that. We don't have any idea whether or not this is going to affect his season at all, but hopefully it doesn't, because he has been really making strides. You look at last week, he had 80 yards, a career high 80 yards on 12 carries. And, you know, so he's definitely a guy that has been making an impact. He's really been living into that that five-star potential.
Yeah, yeah, averaging 4.5 yards per carry. And, you know, he's got 30 attempts already this year. These have been all conference games. And I would say that watching Trey Sanders over the last couple of games, I mean, you can definitely see why he was so coveted. Like, just his ability to hit the hole, the fact that he holds on to the football, he's got really elusive moves. He's kind of a big guy. And so, you know, it's going to be a tough loss for Alabama this year if he's unable to come back, because it's important, I would say, Tony, I mean, you can speak on this, but to have that third option.
Yeah, I think it is. And I think, you know, he was with what he was showing. I mean, now obviously Alabama has, some depth in the backfield. They've got Najee Harris. They've also got Brian Robinson, who's a really capable back as well. But I just think that Trey Sanders added that extra punch, that he was kind of a, you know, I'd seen him compared a lot to Josh Jacobs. And I thought that was almost an interesting comparison. And it was kind of looking like that guy that, yeah, he has a lot of power, but he also brings that elusiveness and that, you know, especially in the catching out of the backfield. I know Alabama has that with Najee Harris, but he's another guy that can really do that. And it would be a tough loss. It would also just be such a tough loss to his momentum, because you got to think, you know, having suffered the season-long foot injury last year, it's like for him to take another blow would be just a really unfortunate start to his college career.
Yeah, no doubt about it. He's Tony Tsoukalos. He's the Alabama Rivals beat writer. You know him from here on Bama Insider. I'm Mick Gillespie. Hey, guys, this is just a pop-up show with everything going on. Tony and I decided that we needed to jump on here. Kyle is on assignment tonight. He'll be back tomorrow. And if you're watching the show and you like what we're doing, man, give us a thumbs up. You know, subscribe to the channel. We're putting a lot of work into this. Kyle, you know, he's like, hey, get on here and do these things. So we're doing them for you, and we really appreciate all that as you kind of watch what we got going on tonight. So the big news is for Alabama, it's been an unfortunate day with Trey Sanders having to be airlifted to the hospital with an injury. And that's really all we know right now, is that Alabama's third string running back and one of the most coveted running backs in the country a few years ago is in the hospital. He's going to survive the car accident, but we just don't know what happened and why he was airlifted. So it could be a lot of different reasons for that. All right, look, we'll keep praying for him, and we'll keep you updated on what's going on. Let's talk about college football, Tony. Let's just switch gears for a second. Alabama plays LSU. That's going to be next week down in Baton Rouge. Let's get into this for a second, man. I had a rant yesterday. I call it a rant. Ed Orgeron, you know, like the locker room video from last year. I got to tip my cap. That was a good team. That was a great team. One of the best, you know, with Joe Burrow in the offense, and they came to Tuscaloosa and President Trump's there. And it's a giant, just a mega scene, right? For a football game in Tuscaloosa. I don't know that we'll ever have a bigger game than that one in the regular season. Alabama was one in a poll, and LSU was number one in a poll. I mean, so basically there's two number one teams going at it. Tua fumbled in the first half. He was kind of gimpy in the game. Alabama fell behind. I mean, you guys remember. And then Tua got us back in it. We just couldn't stop them on defense. They won the game. They go in the locker room, and their coach is in there just, you know, F-bombing Alabama the whole time. And we've waited, Alabama's waited, Nick Saban's waited a long time to get back to this point right here where Alabama is licking their chops to get the opportunity to play LSU. Now, and I know I'm kind of going on and on here, but the other part of this coin is that LSU, not only as defending champs, is having a bad season, they're having an historically bad season as a defending champ. And I don't know if you've seen any of this, but like, they're on pace to be one of the worst teams ever defending a national championship record-wise. Now, I know this is an all-SEC schedule. That's where we are right now on a Friday night with no college football on Saturday and a week away, a week and a day away from Alabama and LSU. Your take.
Yeah, I went on the radio earlier today, and I brought up the point. I think you could make the argument that for the players, at least, this game could have been the biggest circled game of the season, even more so than Auburn. And just because of what that last year's game meant to these players, it really kind of, you know, a lot of people almost viewed that game as your national championship. You know, at the time, it was billed as the winner of that game was going to win the national title. And LSU came into Tuscaloosa and beat Alabama, and they were happy about it. Not only Orgeron, but, you know, their players were coming up to Alabama recruits and telling them to come to LSU. And I think all the players, they saw all that. And, you know, this LSU rivalry is a big one with the players. I wouldn't be surprised if there's a lot of that this game was circled, and that there's going to be a lot of revenge factor heading into this week. I think that these players are going to come out inspired, and you're going to see Alabama wanting to make a statement in Baton Rouge next weekend.
Yeah, and you bring up something that I totally forgot about. I mean, you talk about adding insult to injury. The F-bombs from Ed Orgeron, we're going to out-recruit these guys, we're going to beat these guys, like, we're taking over, right? You won one game in the last 8 years, and you're taking over, right? You had the best team you've ever had, and you barely beat Alabama, and you're taking over. And I'm going to tell you this right now, this is just my opinion. They were the luckiest team in the country that Tua got hurt, because Alabama was the one team that wasn't going to be afraid of them if we saw a rematch in the college football playoff. And then once Tua went down, you know, Alabama was kind of out of it last year. We didn't have this Mac Jones that we have now, you know, like, we didn't have this confident Mac Jones. We didn't have this Mac Jones that was ready to win a Heisman. We had a guy that was kind of find the, you know, the confidence and the footing. Can you imagine the team last year if Mac Jones would have brought this confidence, this demeanor in? But LSU got lucky that they didn't have to see Alabama again, and they rolled everybody after they beat the Crimson Tide.
Yeah, I mean, if you go back to that Alabama game, it's not like LSU blew them out either. You know, that game was very close. Alabama scored a late touchdown to make it look a little bit closer on the scoreboard. But even then, I mean, Alabama had its chances. If certain things go different ways, I mean, that interception right before the half was really costly for Alabama. There's a couple of points you could go back in that game and you would have said, you know, maybe if this wouldn't have happened, obviously Tua's fumble, that set, you know, a weird, you know, setting for the game as well. So there was areas where, from an Alabama perspective, they felt like they were right there in that game. I think that, you know, this is just like it's a situation where I think, you know, in a different circumstance, Alabama could have won. I don't know if, like you said, if Alabama beats Auburn and maybe they make it into the playoff, could they have beaten LSU with Mac Jones? I don't know. You know, I think that maybe Mac Jones wasn't quite what he is right now, and that LSU team was great, so that would have been a big time game for Alabama. But yeah, I mean, if you look at it last year, you know, for all the celebration that LSU did, they didn't really beat Alabama by a lot, and I'm sure that's going to all soak into the Alabama players.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, this offensive line's better, the running game's better somehow. The passing game is as good as it's going to get, you know, obviously Waddle being out. But this game's kind of surpassed in some people's minds, even Alabama-Auburn, as Alabama's biggest rival. And then, you know, last year losing and kind of remembering what it was like to lose to LSU. And I've always appreciated LSU fans. Like, I like being around them. They're fun. They talk a lot of smack. They like to drink and have a good time. Look, I'm down with that. But they are the sorest winners I've ever been around. Like, you can talk about Florida. You can talk about Georgia. You can talk about Tennessee. Obviously, you know, Auburn, you know. But no one rubs it in your face more than LSU when they win a football game, you know. And, I mean, if that's any kind of motivation, too, like, you know, it wasn't good enough just winning the game. Like, it wasn't good enough to come into Tuscaloosa, play the best team your college might ever have. Right, so much so that you lost all your talent and you stink this year, and you're historically bad coming off of a national championship. I read an article on The Athletic yesterday about this, and it's like they're poised to be the worst defending champ in like the last 70 years or something. I mean, depending on how the end of the season goes, which is crazy to me, but that's just the way it is, right? They had that team last year, and instead of being respectful and being like, hey, you know what, guys, like, you know, good team and you guys got a lot going on, like, you know, congratulations, and we're going to go on and win a national championship. You're talking about, like, they ran over and they're like in the recruit's face is like, hey, you're coming here. You don't want to come here to Alabama. Very insulting. And I can't wait until Saturday to see what happens. All right, let's switch gears again. All right. And I'm going to pull up this right here. This is from Luke. He's like, what, you know, would Bama be if Clemson loses? You know, here's another one, you know, from the Gremlin, the gamer Gremlin, right? He says, you know, hoping the Irish beat Clemson this weekend. Look, if Clemson loses this football game, Alabama will be number one. I think Alabama has a chance to jump Clemson anyway because their schedule's so soft. But this is the actual game in their schedule where, I mean, Notre Dame, I don't think Notre Dame's going to win. I mean, I don't even want to set you guys up to give you the, oh, we're going to win this game. It's probably not going to happen. But if Notre Dame was going to beat Clemson, it would be right now. Last week, Clemson was out without Trevor Lawrence. They fell way behind to Boston College. They had to fight back to win. You know, their defense didn't look too good. And, you know, and their young quarterback struggled a little bit. But they came back and won the football game. You know, Notre Dame is, to me, one of the most overrated teams in college football every year. They're not terrible, but, you know, they should probably be ranked somewhere in the middle of the pack. Clemson elite. And, I mean, to me, Tony, I think Clemson's going to go in there. They don't even need a quarterback to beat Notre Dame. But, you know, maybe I'm wrong. I mean, tell me why I'm wrong. Give me one reason why I shouldn't believe that Clemson's going to go in there and just thump these guys.
Well, I think the reason, you know, you mentioned Clemson's quarterback struggled. I think the scariest thing for Clemson against Boston College that their quarterback didn't struggle. I think I'm looking at the numbers right now. He went 30 of 41 for 342 yards and two touchdowns. So that game was close, and they really got decent quarterback play. So, and it was still close against a Boston College team who, you know, no matter what you think about Notre Dame, is not at the level of Notre Dame. I think everyone would agree that Notre Dame's a better team than Boston College. So I think it's on the defensive side maybe of the ball where if you're Clemson, you've got to be a little bit worried. I think they're fine at the quarterback position, even without Trevor Lawrence. Obviously, you're going to want your Heisman, you know, front runner to be there. And you know, the offense is better with Trevor Lawrence, but I don't think that's the reason why they almost lost to Boston College. And if you look at this defense, I mean, say what you want about Alabama's defense, I think Clemson also has to worry a little bit about its defense. 21 points against Syracuse, 28 points against Boston College. They also gave up 23 points against Virginia. These are not great teams that they're giving up these points to. And Notre Dame's going to have the best team that they've played so far this year. I still expect Clemson to win. But, you know, it might be close. I mean, hey, if they play like they did against Boston College, it will be close, and Clemson might lose.
Yeah, well, it's going to be interesting to see how this all shakes out. But, you know, the first half of the football game, the kid looked like a freshman. You know, the second half, he just kind of ran. He's a big dude, and he just kind of ran over Boston College. But I just don't think Notre Dame has the horses. It's going to take more than than Trevor Lawrence being out for Notre Dame to win. But you know what? I mean, look, a couple of years ago they played Georgia tough, and if Brian Kelly wants to be considered elite, Notre Dame beats them. I don't care if Trevor Lawrence is there or not. They win this football game, and all of a sudden Notre Dame's in that conversation now. You know, you're talking about Notre Dame, Alabama, and Ohio State. That would really be something because Notre Dame's fan base is enormous. Hey, guys, if you're watching the show right now, give us a thumbs up. Look, it doesn't take anything to just kind of click that thumbs up button. Subscribe to the channel. You're at BamaInsider.com here on YouTube. He's Tony Tsoukalos. He covers Alabama every day. I'm Mick Gillespie, and we really appreciate you guys joining us. Next Friday from 6 to 8, we'll be back again with the Bama Insider Tailgate Show. Going to be doing it on the line. Going to be down at Perdido Key, Orange Beach, Alabama, Perdido Key, Florida, like right on the line there. And we're going to preview Alabama and LSU. Tony, you're going to have to be a part of the show. Kyle's going to be out of action next Friday. So, I mean, as good a time as ever to say, hey, man, plan on joining us next week? I guess you can do it from your house, but if you and your wife want to come down, come on.
I was gonna say I'll be in Baton Rouge for the game, so I'll see what we can do. But I'm excited about next week's game. It's always fun to go down to Louisiana. It's gonna be weird being in Tiger Stadium though, with it not being full. That's one of those places I think you look at in from a college football, standpoint, and the crowd really does come alive there for those games. It's, I'm kind of disappointed that I'm not going to be able to kind of experience that, because that's one of the best places to be for an Alabama game is in Baton Rouge. It's always a big game, and the fans are rowdy, and it's a real fun experience. So I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. I remember my first trip down there. Alabama was in the midst of this winning streak. It was historic. This thing went all the way back to like 1969, and Alabama either won or they tied, but they weren't beaten by LSU until 2000. I think it was 2000. Maybe it was 2001. Maybe it was 2001. Mike DuBose was the coach, and I was down there for the first time that Alabama was beaten by LSU. Down there, there was a couple of games in that streak where Alabama really needed some luck to win, right? But LSU had this coach named Nick Saban, and the guy was just like, look, I don't buy into all this stuff. I'm not buying into, Alabama's got this lucky streak. It's some kind of curse. We're just going to go play the football game. And LSU beat Alabama to end the streak. And, and then LSU went on a run thanks to Nick Saban. And, now this has become a really big game. But LSU is right now percentage points, or I guess not percentage points, but when they look at the chances, of how their season's going to end, they may only win four games this year, maybe three, but this Alabama team going down there is not going to let them off the hook. I mean, this isn't going to be one of those hey, we're going to take it easy on these guys. I just see Alabama going down there and being prepared and being ready to win this game. All right, let's take a look at what's going on in college football this weekend. And tonight we got number 9 BYU at number 21 Boise State. That's on FS1 tonight. Tony, I'm pretty excited, man. Normally I'm working these Friday nights. We're doing our show Friday nights. I'm at Innisfree. I'm at Rounders. Maybe at the Moonshine Place in Tennessee. Maybe at the Floribama. This Friday I'm at home. So I get to watch this game. Boise State always kind of sneaking around, but BYU wins this one, and I think they put themselves in the talk for possibly the college football playoff.
I think that might be a stretch, but I think a reason to watch this game for me at least is to see BYU's quarterback Zach Wilson, who is kind of on the outside of some of this Heisman hype. If he goes undefeated and he starts putting up these big numbers, he could maybe enter that conversation. You're looking at a guy that's completing 74.6% of his passes, 19 touchdowns, 2 interceptions, 2,152 yards. And then, he's also running the ball. He's got 150 yards and 7 touchdowns on the ground. So he's been racking up touchdowns. It's hard sometimes for these smaller school guys to win the Heisman, but he's definitely got an outside chance of doing so. So I'm kind of looking forward to looking at him and kind of getting to see what he's all about. And, can he challenge the Mac Jones, the Trevor Lawrence, the Justin Fields of the world from BYU?
Yeah, I mean, and look, there they are right there. And you're saying, challenge them. You mean for the Heisman?
Yeah, I mean, you look at the numbers I just said. I mean, they're up there. I know they're BYU. I know he's probably not going against the same competition, but he takes BYU to the playoff, maybe, like you said, or just has them undefeated with eye-popping numbers. He might get that invitation. He might get that consideration for a Heisman. It's probably still a long shot. I mean, it would probably take some of those guys falling off the pace. I mean, I think Mac Jones would have to fall off the pace, and maybe Trevor Lawrence misses some time. Who knows what's going to happen with the Big Ten schedule, but, maybe Fields also, he would have to fall off a little bit. But if he's there and he has BYU undefeated and with big numbers, it's a possibility at least.
Hey, guys, if you're watching right now, give us the thumbs up. Please give us the thumbs up. We're working hard for you. This is a show for you guys on BamaInsider.com, on the YouTube channel, wherever you're watching right now. But we really appreciate you being here. He's Tony Soukalos. I'm Mick Gillespie. In for Kyle Henderson, who's on assignment tonight. He's actually camping. The assignment is camping with the fam. So he'll be back tomorrow. All right, look, a couple other games to talk about before we bid everyone farewell and let them go watch that BYU-Boise State game, which really does have me excited. I'm not even kidding. Like, I can't wait to watch it. All right, number 23, Michigan, is at number 13, Indiana. All right, I got a couple thoughts on this one. First off, Jim Harbaugh needs this game. Last week, the loss to Michigan State was the most embarrassing loss since he's been head coach. You know, I know they've gotten thumped by Ohio State. He hasn't beaten them yet. They've been historically underachievers. When, you know, he kind of came at Nick Saban a little bit, and then those two matched up in the bowl game, and Nick Saban went Cobra Kai on him. I mean, like, the Tide kept scoring in the bowl game last year, you know, which I felt like Alabama deserved a better bowl than that. But and then this year they come in, you know, and they beat Minnesota. Maryland beat Minnesota. Now, Minnesota's not a great win. Indiana, on the other hand, got absolutely beaten down the field all night long by Penn State, but won the football game. And then they won last week, and now they're ranked 13th. And, you know, this is interesting to me because if Indiana finds a way to win this game, which I don't think they're going to do, but if they find a way to win this game, they're 3-0. This is going to be another win against a ranked team. They beat Penn State already. But I feel like for Jim Harbaugh, Michigan, this is a must-win game.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, especially for Jim Harbaugh trying to prove that he's, you know, an elite coach. And look, I don't believe in either of these teams. I don't think Indiana's as good as, you know, I'm not ready to believe or to buy on the Hoosiers just yet, but I also don't believe in Michigan. I think Michigan's just, they're like the Texas of the Big Ten. You know, like every year people think they're going to be good, and are they back? And the answer is no. I'm not a believer. I'm not a believer in Harbaugh. I'm not a believer in Michigan. I think this is a team that's going to lose additional times this year. Probably end up with 3 or 4 losses. I just don't believe in this team. And I really think there needs to be a change at Michigan. I just don't, for the money they're paying Harbaugh, it just doesn't make any sense. They're not getting their return. They're not winning any big games. They're not winning rivalry games now. I just, you know, what's the point? I mean, you're Michigan, you know? I mean, I don't think a lot of schools would put up with what they've, you know, put up with. It's just mediocrity, which from a school that we look at as a, you know, a blue blood, you know, kind of one of the classic college football teams. I mean, it's one of the best programs in the nation in terms of football, and it's really just fallen off the pace.
Yeah. I mean, I like him. Look, I don't know who Michigan's going to go out and get better than him. I mean, they're paying a lot of money for just slightly better than mediocrity. But, you know, I think part of it goes with the fact that guys, college guys right now don't want to play football in Michigan, you know? They'd rather come to the SEC where it's warmer, go play at Clemson, or, you know, play at some of these other schools, you know, then go there. The problem that they have to me is that they can't out-recruit Ohio State yet. And when Urban Meyer left, I thought, well, look, Jim Harbaugh, I mean, eventually he's going to be the guy because he's got the name recognition. But they just haven't been able to do that yet. I don't know why. You know, they've got the facility. They got the name. You know, the uniforms look great. Love the fight song. You know, like, but it just it hasn't worked out. And I know he's a great coach. I mean, look, he's got his team when he was at San Francisco, got to the Super Bowl, right? He comes. Right. His dad's a great coach. His brother's a great coach. But he just, you know, he's kind of been that little ant, you know, that little gnat type guy, you know, like he just always kind of says stuff that's like, you know what, man, what are you doing? The satellite camps and everything else. And they haven't won the big game yet. And, you know, I think they'll still beat Indiana on Saturday, though.
Yeah, probably. But I just, as far as their season goes, I mean, but would you be surprised if they lost to Indiana? That's the other thing, too. You should be surprised if Michigan loses to an Indiana. Just that should be a surprise in college football. And right now, it doesn't necessarily seem like that's the case. You know, I think they're putting up with a lot in Michigan. You know, even, you know, you look at, you know, look at other big rivalries, right? Like, so Auburn is not performing year in, year out at the same level as Alabama is. But, you know, Gus Malzahn's getting wins over Nick Saban every now and then. Right, you know, it's Michigan never beats Ohio State. It's supposed to be one of the biggest rivalries in college football. And it's so one-sided right now. And I just do not believe in Michigan. I just don't believe that they're losing their spot as a blue blood in college football. And the thing is, you talk about recruiting, right? Not only, maybe kids don't want to go up to Michigan, it's going to get to the point where if they don't make a change, if they don't get this momentum going back in the right direction, is it going to, are kids that are getting younger and younger, are they even going to see Michigan the same way that maybe, you or I see Michigan from when they were better? You run the risk of kind of losing some of that brand if you're consistently average and consistently underperforming.
He's Tony Tsoukalos. I'm Mick Gillespie. Great for joining us. We appreciate you guys. Make sure you hit the thumbs up. Please hit the thumbs up. Super chats, appreciate those as well. But hit the thumbs up. Subscribe to the channel. We appreciate all of you guys for being here on a Friday night. Next week, again, the Bama Insider Tailgate Show is going to be live from the floor Bama. It's Bama Insider from the floor Bama. We're going to be down at Perdido Key. It's going to be a lot of fun. So make sure that you plan on joining us again next Friday at 6 o'clock. All right, here's a game that's interesting to me, right? I don't even know why. We could talk about, SMU's ranked, USC's ranked, Texas is ranked. I don't want to talk about those. I want to talk about number 25, Liberty, and Virginia Tech. That's an 11 a.m. game. Hugh Freeze back in action again, and he's undefeated. And not only that, like they're playing at Virginia Tech, and I'm going, okay, like they're both Virginia schools, right? Like there's no way that Liberty is actually going to go in there and beat Virginia Tech. I mean that's not going to happen, is it?
I didn't even know that Liberty was in Virginia, so thanks for that.
Lynchburg, man.
I just learned a new fact today. I didn't know where Liberty was. Look, it's interesting to see what Hugh Freeze has done with that team. Obviously, I think the question I ask on this from this game is, where is Hugh Freeze going to be coaching in the near future? Because it's not going to be Liberty. This guy's going to get another shot at a big program, and obviously what he's done is taking Liberty, not a team that you talk about being ranked. So big statement. I don't know if I'll watch this one. I think you're a little bit, you become a little bit of a college football degenerate maybe if you're watching Liberty at 11 a.m. But hey, no, all jokes aside, I think, when you look at Hugh Freeze, he's a great offensive mind, and it would be interesting to see kind of what he's doing. And hey, if he can pull off an upset there, it'll just add to that resume. And I'm sure he's going to get swooped up by a big time program.
Well, you got to remember this too. There were a lot of rumors that Alabama wanted to hire him as their offensive coordinator, and he was kind of still being punished for what happened at Ole Miss. What happened at Ole Miss? Did they do stuff that other teams didn't do? I mean, he beat Alabama a few times, and he had a great program going. They were able to go out there and get those major recruits, and then. Obviously the punishments and everything else, but the guy showed us that he can coach. When you don't even know where Liberty is. Like you're like Lynchburg. Yeah. I mean, is that where they make the whiskey? No, that's Lynchburg, Tennessee. This is Lynchburg, Virginia. It's in the mountains of Franklin County, I think. It's for him to go there and turn this program into a top 25 team. I heard him on an interview and he's like, we're 6-0, this has been a successful season no matter what happens, right? I mean, I guess he's playing down expectations, but you go to Virginia Tech with Liberty and win. There's going to be some opportunities for you. So is Sark, if he's sought after and someone hires him as offensive coordinator, maybe Alabama looks back to Freeze. And maybe he comes back to the SEC. I mean, that's why I wanted to bring this up, because someone's either going to hire him as head coach or they're going to pay him a lot of money to be an offensive coordinator.
I was going to say, if somebody doesn't, I think a head coach job or head coaching job's not out of the picture. I mean, until Auburn beat LSU the way it did, I thought, maybe Freeze could be at least a name that could be thrown around then if things really went south for Malzahn. in Auburn. I don't know how that's going to work. It seems like that guy's always saving his job right at the last second.
But like Auburn Jesus. You know, Auburn Jesus before?
Yeah.
I'm just being sarcastic.
Yeah, no. I mean, but like, I think Malzahn almost has like a Malzahn genius, a Jesus, right? When it gets close to, whenever he's on the hot seat, he pulls the win out. It kind of like keeps him cool. So, maybe he stays. But I think there's an SEC program out there that probably, or maybe not an SEC program. There's going to be a program out there, I think, it's going to take a chance on Hugh Freeze. I mean, just what he's like I said, what he's doing with Liberty is pretty impressive. I mean, also
what about Tennessee? What about Tennessee? I mean, I look at Tennessee. I mean, I'm not sold on Jeremy Pruitt. I like Jeremy Pruitt as a defensive coordinator, taken back at Alabama in a second. But you know, you put a Hugh Freeze at Tennessee, I don't know, man. Like, this guy's, he's elite coaching material to me.
Maybe, yeah. Yeah, it's kind of early on to – it at least feels early on to get rid of Pruitt, but you know, that thus is the life of a SEC coach. Possibly that could be that's a place I think Hugh Freeze would be interested in coaching as well. It's not a bad opportunity right there. So that would be an interesting match. I'm sure we could go and kind of find a few of these that I think he would probably fit in well, that, you know, he could get a chance. But yeah, Tennessee, that does sound a little bit enticing to me.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the guys had a ton of success, and you know, on top of that, like it's kind of like timing wise, where you try to find that program where you're going to go, and they have the opportunity for you. You know, I'm curious about, you know, what's going to happen with Steve Sarkisian, right? I mean, he's done a great job as Alabama's offensive coordinator, but I mean, does Alabama make a move if he, you know, takes another job? I mean, because you're hearing his name now as maybe a head coach, and do you go after Hugh Freeze?
I mean, Alabama certainly could, from the offensive coordinator standpoint, if that's the way Hugh Freeze wanted to go. I think, you know, if it was between, let's just say, the option we had presented before, Tennessee head coaching job or the Alabama OC job, I think Hugh Freeze is definitely going to go for a head coaching job over an OC job. But we'll see. There's another aspect to it, is the SEC ready to kind of allow Hugh Freeze back into the league? And that's obviously, we were overlooking that before. That's a big factor to this as well, because I think Nick Saban wanted to bring Hugh Freeze on originally. So I think, you know, had that been the case, Hugh Freeze might have coached for Alabama, or maybe still be coaching for Alabama if that was the case. As far as Sarkisian goes, yeah, this certainly feels like it's the last year with Sarkisian, and not because he's done anything wrong, because he's done everything right.
Yeah,
it's hard to imagine Alabama. I know they're paying him a lot now, but it's hard to imagine them keeping him for another year. He's got to be, in my opinion, the hottest assistant. I mean, look, if you're a program and you're wanting to build a team and attract quarterbacks, Steve Sarkisian's your man. Like, he's been gold. I mean, he's, you know, he put up record numbers with Tua, then turned around, put up record numbers with Mac. I'm sure if he stays, he'll put up record numbers with Bryce again. You know, I think he's a quarterback whisperer, you know, and I think any program's going to want that. So he's gonna find himself a situation really soon, I'd imagine.
He's Tony Tsoukas. I'm Mick Gillespie. Thanks for joining us on a Friday night here on BamaInsider.com, Bama Insider YouTube channel. Give us a thumbs up, peeps. We love you guys. Thanks for watching. Give us a thumbs up. Subscribe. Super chats are welcome. You know, Tony and I split those on Friday night when this is our off weekend. And you see what we're doing. We're talking to you guys about college football because we love what we do, man. We love it. All right. Let me dig back in again, Tony. And I know we've got the BYU game coming up, and I know that we got to kind of wind this thing down, but number 8 Florida versus number 5 Georgia, the world's largest cocktail party, right? Can I still call it that on here?
Yeah.
Is that offensive? I mean, is that cool? Because I'm all about a cocktail party. 2:30, you can watch that CBS this Saturday. I'm going to be watching. Can't wait to see it. Alabama will play the winner of this game, most likely. I can't imagine that they wouldn't play the winner of this game in Atlanta, the SEC championship game. Give me your thoughts on Georgia and Florida.
I think I'd pick Georgia in this game, but I think it's a tough game. And I like Florida. I think Kyle Trask is really good, and I think he's a guy that we were talking about for the Heisman. He's a guy, if he can do what Mac Jones did against Georgia's defense, which is really hard to do, but if he could also do that against a good defense like Georgia, I think, you know, he starts entering that Heisman realm. He's kind of waiting in the shadows, and this is a big, big opportunity for him. And then obviously that sets up Florida for a run at the SEC East title and then a shot at Alabama in the SEC championship game. So it's a big matchup. I think some people are kind of giving it to Georgia and, you know, maybe just kind of penciling them in this one. I don't necessarily think that's the case. I think it could be a really good game.
Yeah, and look, I'm going to agree with you. You know, most people will say, well, the fact that, you know, Georgia struggles on offense. And I agree. Look, I've said it on here for weeks, is that Georgia's biggest problem is that they don't have an offense that when they fall behind is able to come back and compete. You know, like they're almost like the Brad Paisley song, Old Alabama. They remind me of watching Nick Saban's first, you know, three championship teams. You know, like, we're going to run the ball, we're going to control the clock, we're going to take the air out of the football. You've heard that term before. Yeah. We're going to play great defense, we're going to stop the run, we're not going to let you score any running touchdowns, and we're going to beat you, right? But the problem is that college football has changed. Alabama has changed with college football. You got to score points, and that's just the way the game's played right now. I can remember Nick Saban saying, hey, is this what you want? Yeah, this is what we want. We want to have this high scoring. I don't like it. I like the old school football better, the physical football. But you know what? I got to give Nick Saban a lot of credit, just like the great Bear Bryant himself, who did the same thing. You have to be on the cutting edge of change when it's time to make that change, and Alabama certainly was able to do that, and that's why Nick Saban's won, you know, as many titles as anyone's ever stood on a sideline, right? They're going to – right. I mean, and basically that's what Georgia's problem is. I just don't think Florida has the offense and the defense to be able to put Georgia on their back. I don't think their offense – I think their offense is good. I just don't think it's good enough for them to get that 2-score lead where Spencer Bennett is or Stetson Bennett is having to really throw them back in the game. I don't think they're going to do that. I think Georgia's going to control the game. I think they're going to be able to run on Florida. I think they're going to score. I think Georgia's going to be ahead the whole game. And I think Alabama's going to see Georgia in the SEC championship game. And I think it's going to be a tough game. I even though Alabama has the potential to be able to blow them out, we saw it last time. Georgia played Alabama in the first half about as tough as you're going to play them. They've got playmakers at every position. They've got the highest-ranked recruiting classes of any of the teams Alabama's going to play. So they have the athletes, and I just feel like Georgia is going to take advantage of Florida. But I really like Dan Mullen and what he's been able to do down there, even with the Darth Vader outfit, you know, and the heel role that he's playing now.
Yeah, like you said, it's going to be an interesting matchup. Dan Mullen is a great coach as well. You say what you want about he's I don't know about him as a character, you know, off the field. I think some of the stuff he does is really Looney Tune, but he's come in there and, you know, the SEC East needed somebody to challenge Georgia. And I think Florida is becoming that team, and it'd be a big statement win for them moving forward. I think that, you know, this is a huge game, not only just from obviously this year, but setting the tone for the years to come. And look, it comes to a point where Georgia's, you know, if Georgia loses this game, they're obviously not going to compete for a national title. And as well as Kirby's recruiting, it gets to the point where he's kind of in that same mold as like, you can win, but you've got to get over the hump. And he's came so close, and he's been, you know, unfortunate. And he, you know, the two losses to Alabama, he was in control for a lot of those games and let it slip away. And part, you know, that's obviously, you know, credit to Alabama and also, you know, decredit to him for not being able to hold on. But you got to look at Georgia and you start thinking, you know, the talent's there, the recruiting's there, but you're going to have to see some elite results. I mean, this is a team that you're going to want to see start winning some titles. And so it's a big moment. You don't want to miss that window for success for Georgia before Florida kind of comes in and maybe trying to steal some of your thunder. So I think it's a big statement win for Georgia if they can win and kind of still maintain control of the East, both obviously this year and then recruiting wise as well.
Yeah. And this could be in the future, you know, two of the top five teams in the country going at it. You know, this could be two of the top three teams in the country going at it. This has the potential to be like what Alabama and LSU was last year in the near future. So it's a very interesting game that's going to happen Saturday. And as guys that pull for Alabama, that cover Alabama, you know, whatever, we're going to pay close attention because this is most likely going to be the matchup in Atlanta December 19th when the SEC, you know, plays East versus West. All right. The other thing, this is the last subject we're going to talk about. For those of you guys that are watching right now, that are paying attention, that's Tony Soukas. I'm Mick Gillespie. This is Bama Insider. We would absolutely love you guys. We'll give you some nucks if you hit the thumbs up button. If you subscribe to what we're doing, man, we really appreciate it. We're working hard for you. This is our off night. And with Trey Sanders, you know, just kind of recapping the news, Trey Sanders was airlifted to the hospital today, Alabama's third string running back, a former blue chipper, a five-star out of Florida, after having a car accident that he and his brother were in. And, you know, we're all praying for him to get better soon. It's non-life-threatening, so I don't know what that means, you know, and at this point, you know, football secondary, but, you know, on the field, he's had just a really, really strong couple of games, and you could tell that he was just about to hit his stride as far as getting more carries and being more instrumental in this offense, but forget about Alabama football. And our prayers go out to him and his family. We're thinking about him tonight and just glad that he and his brother are okay after their car accident. That's why we got on here, and then we kind of bounced into the college football talk. And this is the last thing we're going to get into, but we would really appreciate it if you guys hit the thumbs up and subscribe to our channel because we're doing this for you. All right, look, there's three teams who are trying to be that, like, dark horse in the college football playoff picture. BYU, we talked about them, Tony. They're playing tonight against Boise State. I think this is a huge opportunity for BYU because they're playing a ranked team, and they're playing a team that, quite frankly, of the mid-majors, has the most respect of the mid-majors. You know, they when they stunned Oklahoma, they used the old Statue of Liberty play. Ever since then, they've kind of been our darling of, like, you know, hey, like, this is that team that just does things, you know, like, they're fun to watch.
The original dark horse team, really.
Right. But, yeah. I mean, you go back to when Jim McMahon was at BYU, they won a national championship. People forget that, right? So, okay, that's that. We talked about that already. Marshall is a program that has historically been good at football. You know, of course, you guys have probably watched the movie with Matthew McConaughey where their plane crashed and their football team died in a plane wreck, you know, and that was like in the 70s. And, you know, I spent some time in Huntington, West Virginia, man. It's like they have this fountain that is, you know, dedicated to those players. It's something that, like, when you walk on that campus, like, it just is part of who they are. But over the years, they've had Byron Leftwich. They've, you know, they were a 1AA team that won national championships. They finally got back to D1, you know, recovering after the, you know, the plane crash when they were about where they are right now. And this year, they're having a great season. Doc Holliday's their head coach. They're fun to watch. They're undefeated right now. They're 16th in the country. They're going to win against UMass. UMass stinks. It's like, you know, it's like the spread's like 45 points. We're not talking about them. But we are talking about number 6 Cincinnati. And I'm putting all of them in the one basket here, right? You went trick-or-treating, you know, last weekend, Tony. I'm putting BYU. I'm putting Boise State. I'm putting Marshall. And I'm putting Cincinnati in that same basket. So Houston's at Cincinnati. It's around a 2-touchdown a spread for this game. Cincinnati's ranked 6th right now. The Bearcats, they're ranked 6th. Like, these guys right here, like, you have to start talking about them because whoever's number 1 in the country going into the college football playoff might very well play these guys, and I hope it's Alabama.
Yeah, I think it would take a lot for Cincinnati to get to that point. I think, you know, you'd have to have some teams fall off. I would think that, you know, even a one-loss team, like like we've said in the past, like an A&M or something. I think even they would get bumped above Cincinnati, but who knows? I mean, if they stay undefeated, maybe they'll get their chance. I think a lot would depend on the scenario around Cincinnati. I definitely don't think that they control their own fate by any means. But it is fun to kind of watch some of these underdogs, you know, and see how far they can take it. And, you know, sometimes these matchups, you know, seem cool, but I don't know if you have Alabama versus Cincinnati or Clemson versus Cincinnati, I don't think that's going to be a great playoff matchup. I kind of think either one of those teams would win by about 30 or 40 points in a playoff setting, but you know, I don't know. Maybe I'll watch Cincinnati and see something that I didn't see before.
Well, look, I think they have a chance to get in just because, I mean, look at what's already happened in the Big Ten. Okay, Wisconsin's out of it now. They've had back-to-back weeks with COVID, and they're not going to play enough games to get into the championship, right? What if that happens to Ohio State? Or what if, the, you know, what if they don't get in this picture? Someone beats them, you know? Cincinnati's ranked right there. So Notre Dame and Clemson are playing this weekend. One of those teams is going to lose. Probably going to be Notre Dame. They're probably going to get beaten handily, and that's going to get rid of Notre Dame, right? So now all of a sudden they slide to 5. You know, Georgia's ranked up there. They play Alabama. Bama's going to beat them again, right? Or they might lose to Florida this week. Well, Florida would jump. If Florida wins, they're going to jump Cincinnati, and they're going to be that team that's kind of right, that the best one-loss team. They're going to be in there. But they're going to have to play Alabama. So I'm going to take them out. It's important to be number one this year because the number four team is going to be such a drop-off from the number three team that you want to be the number one team so that you don't have to go out there and get physically beaten up in a win to turn around and play in that championship game. So if it's these guys, I mean, it would really benefit Alabama to be number one.
Yeah, I mean, can you imagine Alabama's schedule? Let's say Alabama runs the table and they have to play Ohio State in the Rose Bowl and then turn around and play Clemson in the national championship game after playing a full SEC slate of 10 games. That is a grueling stretch. And that, you know, so I think for Alabama, it'd be funny. You could, you know, in terms of talent, if they got to the playoff, just based on the talent they've, you know, that they've faced this year. And I'm not sure you can necessarily equate talent with a good team. I'm not trying to totally trash Cincinnati this year, but say Alabama does play Cincinnati in the playoff, I think it'd be one of the easier games that they've played this season, even though it'd be in the college football playoff. And like I said, maybe I don't know about Cincinnati, but in terms of a talent standpoint, I don't necessarily think that stands up to what they've been facing in the SEC. So yeah, definitely would. If you're looking in between playing that and an Ohio State, who I think is the legit title contender, right. Sure. You know, I think I'd take the other team in Ohio rather than the Buckeyes.
Yeah, I'm with you, man. Tony, we just threw an hour together.
yeah.
I mean, like we could sit here and talk college football with these guys all night. I'll just say this though, it's my, you know, just finishing up my thoughts on Cincinnati, you know, whoever, if you're Clemson and you play that weak schedule in the ACC, right? This is your big game, Notre Dame, which in the SEC, Notre Dame would be, I don't know. What do you think? Like, it would probably be like fifth best, you know, maybe fifth best.
I don't know. I'm not a huge believer in Notre Dame either. I think they're a team that usually gets ranked a little bit higher than what they are.
Right. A little bit. It's like, you know, maybe 10 or 12 spots, right?
you might be right.
Yeah, I mean, like, so, you know, but in the ACC, it's like, this is the game, you know, oh my gosh, here we go, you know, we got these two, I'm going to be poking back up there again, this is it, you know, we got Notre Dame, and we got Clemson, all right, come on, man. Like, then you end up not playing any physical games that are even comparable to what we do have in the SEC. Then you play, you know, Cincinnati in the first round, you know, and Alabama's playing at Ohio State. I mean, like you get into that last game and it's like you're fresh, you know. So I think that's why this one's so important. But keep an eye on the Bearcats. This is Houston's a team that can definitely beat them. And, you know, we'll see what they're all about. But they've had a great start to the season. And when Ohio State was at home and the Big Ten wasn't playing football, you know, these guys this was college football in Ohio, you know, and it's a big college football state. So anyway, look, we've enjoyed it, guys. Thank you for watching. Hit the thumbs up. Subscribe to our channel. We appreciate it. You'll have Kyle on here tomorrow. I think I'm going to jump on as well sometime in the morning, and then we'll get you set up for the college football slate. Of course, tomorrow, the big game that we'll be paying attention to mostly is in the SEC, and that's Florida and Georgia. Tony, have a great night, man. Enjoy your off weekend, my friend.
I will. You do the same.
I will. All right, that's Tony Tsoukalos. I'm Mick Gillespie. Thanks for watching us here on Bama Insider and the Bama Insider YouTube channel.